Welcome to the Real Estate Success and Support Podcast, your resource for real estate strategies, tips, and best practices to take your business to the next level. There's no reason you can't double your sales. So let's get to it with your host, Kristen Brindley.
All right. Hello, everyone. This is Kristen Brindley with DC Metro Real Producers, and I'm here with the wonderful Eric, and he is on our cover for March. So definitely check it out. Page 28. Eric, thank you so much for being with us today. I appreciate you.
Thanks for having me, Kristen. I think I'm wearing the same shirt that I was on the cover of the magazine. So I excellent synchronicity on my part.
That's perfect. Perfect. Well, you know, you are a super sharp guy. One of the first things I'm going to ask is like, why real estate? But you all have grown 20% like every single year. You did over $100 million in 2020, which is quite an achievement. And you are big in your community. You love to give back, pediatrics especially, which I'm excited to talk to you about that for awareness purposes and so on for people. Why real estate for you? So you're a sharp guy. You could do anything, I believe. Like, why did you choose real estate?
It's a great question. Sometimes on some days I ask myself that exact question, right? So I had a lifestyle change brought me to DC, and I was, thinking about going to law school or graduate school and starting the application process. And, long story short, I started buying and selling houses at a time before there was HGTV and everyone was doing that. And so I decided to get my real estate license just to, for my own investments, which I don't do anymore, but, and that was it. And suddenly someone asked me to help them buy a home, and my real estate career just kind of took off. And I kept saying, well, I'll apply to graduate school next year. And then it was next year. And then it was next year. And here I am, I'm 51 years old. So there's still hope for grad school or law school for me, but it's not going to be anytime soon, I don't think.
Well, and can you tell us a little bit about your approach to real estate? Because I feel like when we were talking earlier, I thought that was a great thing to share with people, like how you ended up in it because of how you treat what real estate is.
Yeah. I mean, I think that one of the things that we beat the drum about on my team and what I saw early on, just looking at real estate from an outside, is that if you treat this like the service industry, that what we're offering is service and not sales, you'll be successful, right? Because you're selling homes, which people have an emotional connection to, even the people that claim to not make emotional purchases, right? So, I had come from, my family's business was, we owned a ski and snowboard school, right? So I was forced, even though I was kind of an introverted kid, I was forced to like be a ski instructor and snowboard instructor at a young age. And what we offered was a service, right? It was an instruction. So we taught people how to ski and snowboard or ski and snowboard better. And I think I approached real estate like that, whether that was intentional or not, and it served me well. And I wouldn't be a great salesperson, but I'm good at the service industry, and that's like delivering a quality product to the people that hire me. So I think that approach has served me well.
I think so too. What do you think has been your largest challenge as a real estate agent?
I think most of us who are successful, even if we have systems and things in place, it's the kind of being on call all the time, whether or not we admit it. And I don't mind it. Like I said in my article, like I kind of like this unstructured life. I am working all the time. I'm also playing with my kids all the time and talking to my friends all the time. So I don't have this sort of structured sort of work day where I go to work 9 to 5 from Monday to Friday. I'm sort of always working and also taking time off. So for me, that has served well. I have agents on my team that do it very differently. They're very structured, and I think it's a personality type, but it's a challenge and it's also a blessing, I think, too. I can also get a haircut on a Tuesday at 2 p.m., get my oil changed on Thursday at 10 a.m. So, there are good parts about it as well.
Absolutely. So what's been most rewarding for you, do you feel?
People are buying and selling homes with us, right? So while sometimes it's the financial aspect of someone, say, selling a home and downsizing and really needs the money, it's great to serve them well. But the emotional part of it is great too. When people buy a new home or sell a home, or when they sell and buy and it feels rewarding and they invite you to their housewarming party. I mean, that the personal connection, which if you asked me, I would tell you that that's not really one of my strengths, that I'm not really, but the truth is I enjoy it. I like it a lot.
How does real estate fit into your dreams and goals, Eric?
You know, I'll tell you one of the challenges of real estate, something that no one told me, you know, when I got into it, is that when you decide to get into real estate, that you are tying yourself to a geographic location, right? And I think that for many years, I lived my previous life, I got to travel around the world and ski through all through different continents and areas. And I really enjoyed that. And well, I don't know if you know this or not, but the skiing in the DC metro area isn't like the best. it's fine. But, you know, so I have come to sort of join other organizations and look for other activities that I enjoy. So I'm here for a while and I've had to make some changes in the things that I appreciate and enjoy.
And to expound a little bit on the skiing background, like you're a very good skier. Can you tell everybody a little bit about like your upbringing and, you know, skiing is very important to you.
Yeah. Well, it was, you know, in a previous life, you know, my parents met, they owned ski businesses. I was raised in the ski industry. I didn't even know that there were people that existed in the world that didn't ski until I went to kindergarten, you know? So our family, our culture, I was sort of raised in my parents' ski school, like in the 70s and early 80s, which was just a fun time to be in that business. And it's a culture that I still like, sort of the mountain and ski culture. It's, I was raised in a very counterculture environment, which I like too. And after college, I just decided that I really wasn't ready to grow up yet. So I got jobs sort of skiing around the world, training ski instructors, and in my free time, I would climb mountains and ski them, and I loved it, really enjoyed it. Now I have kids and I'm sort of tied to my career, but I'm happy to have had that experience. And I really enjoy it. And now if I ski, I'm just a recreational skier like everybody else who goes skiing with their kids on the weekend.
I think you're kind of modest. I have a feeling that your skiing and my skiing would look very different. Can you define success for us? What does success mean to you, Eric?
This is a great quote that I have from my father. My father, who's a Viennese Austrian, right? Kind of a different breed. He says, success is when you never have to wear a necktie and you can take a nap whenever you like. So I have not achieved that level of success, right? I don't know. I think we have to be careful of what success is. You know, if I get too caught up in what is financial success in our Western society, it's never enough, right? So I think success, there can be on many levels. Like I want to be available to my family, to my kids, to be a good father, to be a good husband, to be active in my community and be an approachable person who people feel like they have time to reach. Professionally, I think about, as we have sort of a growing team of agents on my team, to be someone who's available to them, to lift them in their careers. So I think there are a lot of definitions of success, but I think we have to look outside of ourselves to really find that definition. How are we viewed by people that aren't in our inner circle? You know, when we're gone, I mean, that's what's left behind. That's the legacy, right?
100%. Legacy and impact. Tell us about your family a little bit more. You have two adorable kids. Like, tell us about your family.
I do. Yeah, I really got a late start in being a father. I thought I would be a bachelor forever until I met my wife, Amanda, and, you know, changed my mind. I'm not a young father. I'm 51 years old with an 8 and a 6-year-old. And it's great. You know, I have two young boys, Max and Brooks. We had some challenges with health with Brooks. Brooks was diagnosed with pediatric cancer. Lymphoma when he was 17 months, and he had a 3.5-year battle. Things look good right now. You know, if he makes it until August with clean blood work, which we certainly hope, he'll be considered cured. So that's where we are. That was a really big, it was a tough challenge, you know, and we feel we feel about the impact on our older son too, what that was like, right? Having to give all that extra attention and time to Brooks. So it was, you know, people will ask you like, how did you ever go through that? How did you, and you know, I would feel the same way if I were asking someone else, but you go through it, you deal with it, you know, and we're really blessed that Brooks, you know, is still with us. You know, many of his friends, many of the kids that he was in the trenches with haven't made it, you know, so we're really lucky. And we, my wife and I stay really in that, you know, involved with sort of research for pediatric cancers and all the agencies that support families and kids that are struggling, you know, and suffering from pediatric cancers. We love Make-A-Wish. We love the Leukemia Lymphoma Society, Children's Hospital here, the NIH, and Children's Oncology Group, which is a great organization that people don't know enough about. And the COG or Children's Oncology Group, they don't do a good job really asking for money, but they're on the front lines of doing direct research for pediatric cancers, which are different than adult cancers and need independent research.
That makes a lot of sense to me. I'm personally a survivor, and something that I noticed in the chemo room especially, it was hard enough with all the adults around me, but I would often wonder if I was, you know, thankful that there weren't the kids right there, because it just tears my heart out. Like, I've been to a couple, you know, wards where there's children, and that's a different animal emotionally too, it feels like, you know?
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad, and we all cross our fingers for Brooks, and you know, yeah.
Thanks, Kristen. Thank you. And for you.
Thank you.
We appreciate all cancer survivors and know what you've been through.
Tell us about like what you're currently learning. And I mean, you just added 5 members to your team this past year. Like, you have a lot going on. Like, what are you currently focused on learning?
Yeah. So as my team has grown, like, I've really realized that what I love is being a ski instructor again, but with real estate agents, you know, to sort of, to lift other people, help them succeed in their careers, and to move my team in that direction has been most rewarding to me. And I still love the job of selling real estate, and I plan to do it actively for at least another probably 10 years. Again, I got a late start, and I always joke that I took my retirement from college graduation until my early 30s, and now I have to work until I'm 80, which I do gladly and thankfully. But, you know, I really enjoy that. So I'm realizing that being a mentor, being a person who helps other people grow their business, has been rewarding to me and what I want to do long term moving forward.
Wonderful. So what about interests and hobbies? So what have you been working on? So instead of skiing in the greater DC area, like, do you guys have some interests and hobbies either as a family or for yourself that you like to do?
We do. Well, the kids are, they're kind of typical kids age 6 and 8. So they do sports, and my son is learning how to play the guitar. My younger son really likes art, so we do a lot of art classes and things. Mm-hmm. And you know, together, we live sort of really close to the Potomac River. We love our little community here. We belong to this little place called the Sycamore Island Club, which is this really cool island that's in the Potomac River. And, you know, there are canoes and kayaks and stand-up paddle boards there. You can actually swim in the river there too, when the bacteria count isn't too high. So those things, and just being part of our community where we are, we're close to the C&O Canal, close to those things, biking and hiking and being around. We love the outdoors. I think both my wife and I come from outdoor families.
Are there any educational classes, books, or quotes, or things that have truly inspired you, or mentors that you'd want to mention?
You know, I think all the managers that I've worked for in real estate have definitely had a direct impact on my career. And when I got into real estate, I wasn't sure I was going to be a real estate agent. I think only recently have I kind of thrown in the towel. I'm like, well, I guess this is what it is. This is what we're doing, you know? So I'd start with like Dorothy Heyman was sort of one of my earlier mentors, and she was great. I'm going to miss someone if I do this, of course, right? Rodney Bennett also, and then Joy Liberty, and I'm forgetting, Brenda Small. and then Kevin McDuffie at Coldwell Banker, and then Holly Worthington, who is our current, who would be a great person for you to interview, by the way. I mean, she's just a wealth of knowledge, has been in the industry forever, and has been a manager of real estate agents forever.
And I like her. She's a cancer survivor too, and she's a fantastic person. Yeah.
Yeah. And a manager who's always available to her agents, and she oversees a lot of agents. So terrific. I have always leaned on my managers and leaned on the expertise of others. You know, when I competed in ski racing, you learned to have a coach and rely on the coach to make you better. And I think that hopefully I'll always feel like I need to, that I'm still teachable and I still have a lot to learn. Right. And, you know, anyone who's successful generally says that. If I think I get to a point where I'm not teachable, it's probably time to start something new. And I'm thankful that all those people I mentioned have always been available to me, you know, so that's made a huge difference in my career.
You know, as someone who really took a sport to another level, I feel like you're probably very good at modeling and very coachable. Like, I feel like those two things from sports are a huge advantage that kids gain from. I think everything you said is 100% true personally. So what do you think sets you apart? Like, makes you different? Like, what makes everything tick for you?
I don't know if I really know the answer to that. I mean, I think I'm good at connecting with people and chatting with people, right? And listening actively, which is, I think, a lot of things that newer real estate agents struggle with. I mean, the people that succeed in this business are able to connect with people, and in their own way, we all have different personality types, are able to actively listen to what people are saying. And I think listening is one of the biggest skills in our business. You know, I remember being a newer agent, and, you know, you'd go on a listing appointment and you'd have, like, you know, you'd have your book and you'd have your data and you'd be so excited about jumping in and giving your pitch. But the truth is, they want you to ask questions and to know what they're looking for, right? Not just give a pitch, not just give stats. So I think I'm good at that. And sort of what I lack in structure, because I'm not always great with the people that want the really specific timeline, because we basically, our theory is that every person's situation is different. And while we have guidelines and framework, things have to change within that framework to be sort of acceptable and be applicable to each specific client. So I think being flexible, being not too rigid, and actively listening probably are what sets me apart. At least that's what my clients tell me, the ones that hire me. The ones that didn't hire me, I don't know. Maybe whatever sets me apart is why I didn't get the listing. I don't know.
So. I feel like personally from our conversations, like, you're very authentic. And you can tell, and I really like that about you too. So what do you feel like has been your biggest failure that you've learned great lessons from?
Boy, I try not to focus on failure, Kristen, but no, I'm just kidding. you know, I think that we talked earlier about being coachable. You know, there are some specific guidelines and framework that will allow you to be successful in real estate. And I'm always a person who has been a little bit counterculture, a little bit rebellious, although you can't tell that. I can be very polite and smiling on the outside, but sometimes counter things on the inside. Is that there are specific things that you need to do in this career to be successful. And even if you have special gifts and abilities outside of those things, if you don't do those things, you're not going to be successful. Specifically asking for business, you know, like, for, I think all of us that work in this career want to be the people that hang out a shingle and people will just, you know, will seek and come and approach, right? And the problem is, we need to ask for business actively, not just passively, right? So there are passive methods like sending postcards or e-newsletters, but there are the active methods too, which are engaging with people personally, in person. And I always tell my agents on my team, it starts like this: in person, by telephone, and then everything else, right? Like, sending text messages and emails is is a fine way to communicate a simple yes or no answer, but it's not personable. And you got to like connect with people and let them know that you're there for them all the time.
I love it. Also, you know, that makes me think of the seven levels of communication, like what you just said, and 100%. Yeah. What do you believe? Well, actually, what have you done that you feel other real producers absolutely should do, or people that are, you know, doing well, but you know, what's taken it to another level for you? Like, let's say you were doing well, but now you've gone from doing well to being, you know, $100 million in business. Like, what's something you did to create that you would suggest other real producers do?
You know, I that's something that I struggle with, right? I mean, there were many years where I did a lot of start and stop things with, you know, farming and prospecting, where I wasn't getting immediate results. So I'd have to stop and restart. And to continue to remember that the things that you do now are going to pay dividends in the future. I mean, every now and then you send out a postcard, you get somebody calls you right away, but that's not normal. So, you know, to continue to do the right thing, to work hard, to do those things that you need to do, and that it will pay dividends in the future. And I will tell you, you're talking to someone who is not a patient person, right? And that's something I have to remind myself daily. So, you know, sign of providing good service, reaching out to people and touching people consistently and know that it's going to pay back, and not worry about the immediate results. You know, markets are going to come and go. And this is something that I have to remind myself on a daily basis too. All of us have times when our business is really hot, and maybe we're busy when others are not. There are times when our business might be slower than those around us. It's like not to pay attention to that noise and keep doing the things that we need to do that'll bring us future business, which is taking care of people and reaching out to people.
Thank you. You just made me think of one of my favorite sayings that I've heard is, comparison is the killer of joy. I remind myself all the time that my backstage comparing it to other people's front stage maybe isn't a great idea. Sure. Yeah. What do you want to be remembered for, Eric?
I mean, I hope that I'm always remembered as someone who was available and was of service and was helpful and was kind, which I'm not always. It's a weakness of mine, right? So a person who is especially, you know, certainly by the people on my team that I mentor directly, but also other people in the real estate community and then people in my community in general, right? You know, I think about the people who have had the biggest impact on my lives, and I'm not talking about professionally. They were people that were available, right? And were available for a chat or to take a phone call or to have lunch or to cook a meal. And that's what hopefully we all want to be remembered by, right?
Absolutely. I think from something you just said, I think kindness is only available in some ways to people who are very aware.
Yeah.
I feel like you're pretty aware. So,
Some days.
Well, is there anything else you'd like to convey to our real producers?
No, I just wish, I know that it's a tough time. It's a grind out there right now. So I hope everybody's doing okay. And know that things will normalize eventually, and make sure you're nice to each other, because pretty soon, before you know it, our listings are going to be sitting for a year before they sell, and we're going to need each other to get them sold. So certainly appreciate all the things that all real estate agents are doing right now. We are an underappreciated service industry. We just are, right? You know, people think we make too much money and that we don't work hard, but all the people that are in the community, I know what you're doing. We know the grind. So that's it, really.
So right. Thank you so much, Eric Chavez, for being with us today. Really appreciate you.
Thanks for listening to the Real Estate Success and Support Podcast. To get even more information to take your real estate business to the next level, visit kristenbrindley.com. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to subscribe and tune in next week. And until then, please leave us a review on iTunes.